Programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation even perhaps this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And that's toll-free if you're in the area. We'd love to hear from you. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program here, use it for your glory, help us to be a help and encouragement to somebody today through the things that we talk about, and that we could point people to Christ, Lord, that they might find him as their Savior. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been quite a busy week here. I just heard Pastor Lutz on his program before me talking about the Ohio Christian Alliance dinner last Saturday, and then, of course, the legal seminar that he went to this past Tuesday up in Ashtabula, and I was actually at both of them as well, and certainly echo some of his sentiments from what he was talking about in the last half hour, and also make note, too, that next week from today, in addition to being on 1:30 to 2 o'clock, I'll also be filling in for Pastor Lutz during his program at 1 o'clock, so I'll be here 1 o'clock to 1:30 for his program, and then 1:30 to 2 o'clock for our program right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in next week as well for the whole hour there. Of course, our program is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit us out there, and we give the information, of course, at the end of the program. And if you want the directions and all that sort of stuff, you can give us a call or contact us. All that information be given at the end of the program, but we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located in Richfield, Ohio, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike, across there on Brecksville Road. At 5171 Brecksville Road, we meet in the conference room. We'll be there tonight. We'll meet there tonight, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and it's just a free form, informal Bible study. And it's kind of like this program, kind of like our Sunday night program. We're on here, AM 1220, The Word, every Sunday night from 11 o'clock at night until midnight. That's a live program, and it's a call-in program. We talk about, as we do on this program, things that are happening in the world, and we invite you to call with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and certainly love to hear from you today, 888-677-9673, and I wanted to kind of jump in here. There's a variety of areas to jump in at, and not really sure just where I wanted to get into here, kind of talking with Pastor Lutz between the programs, and so I got papers all over the place here as I was trying to get some things sorted out. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great joy. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. A roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. And then as you go down a little bit further here in verse number 28 of Proverbs chapter 28, The Bible says, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. And, you know, we look at this verse here, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. And that's basically because they get a target on their back, and they're worried about being arrested, worried about being fined, worried about being taken captive in some fashion, worried about things happening to them, having their freedoms taken away from them. And we've seen that in time past. That's why in our country we have a Bill of Rights appended to our Constitution, which gives us certain freedoms. And we're supposed to be guaranteed those freedoms under law, under our Constitution. But what happens when those that are supposed to enforce the law and support and defend the Constitution are not doing that? Now, as a veteran of the United States Air Force, I had to take an oath to defend this country, defend the Constitution of this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Anybody that has served in the military, taken a similar sort of oath, people that have become police officers, people that become judges, people who become elected officials, take oaths of similar nature. Even, a lot of people don't think about this, but when you go in to vote coming up next month on Election Day, the people who are the poll workers there, when you go to get your ballot and everything, turn in your ballot, they have to take an oath at the start of the day to essentially defend the election process and the Constitution. And it's worded a little bit differently from here to there, but essentially the whole thing is that we're called to be defenders of our freedom. And, you know, as a pastor, I certainly have a responsibility to be a defender of freedom. And rather than hide, we need to be open in our defense of the freedom that has been bought for us with a cost. And I said all that to lead up to some of the things that we see that are happening in America today. And I look at different things happening, and the military, partly from having been in it myself, and I'm going to touch on a couple things there, but I think it's part of an overall type of thing. See, the devil wants to control, and when you look at some of the things that are going on in the world today, we seem to be moving away from God and in the direction of immorality, in the direction of abominations, in the direction of idolatry, in the direction of everything that's contrary to God and His Word, and in the direction that the world, the flesh, and the devil would seek to pull us. And as we see those things happening, the devil has willing stooges, I guess you could say. Back in the old Cold War days, they had what the Soviet Union called useful idiots, and that's a term that they used. I'm trying to think who coined it, whether it was Stalin or one of the others there in the old Soviet Union, but they had this term, useful idiots, and these were people that they could use to advance their goals, and these people would oftentimes be used willingly, but not at all understanding or appreciating what the end game was. And we hear a lot about communism, we hear a lot about socialism, we hear a lot about Islam and all of these different things, and I would contend that all of them, in a sense, are stooges, and those that follow those various isms and such knots are useful idiots that the devil is using to accomplish his ultimate goals. His ultimate goal is to rule over this world. The devil has a plan. The devil wants to bring to the fore, eventually he will, an individual who the Bible calls the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And the devil is trying to use various means to bring this person to power. He'll use false religion. He'll use things like Islam. He'll use dictatorships. He'll use communism. He'll use socialism. All of these have a thing in common. You could call it statism. And statism is essentially when the state becomes God. And, of course, all of these have a common enemy in Christianity, in Bible-believing Christianity, Bible-based Christianity, because Bible-based Christianity recognizes the God of the Bible as being superior to the state. And Islam is under that statist sort of thing. Sharia law, it's a way of life. It encompasses the economy. It encompasses the government. It encompasses what you believe. It encompasses how you conduct your affairs during the day. Communism is certainly a statist philosophy. It incorporates all aspects of your life and seeks to control it. Socialism, all these sorts of things. They're all under statism. You could have a dictatorship. You could have a monarchy. All of these things where they seek to control all of your life, either through coercion or through lulling your senses. I'm reminded of a couple of books back in the middle of the 20th century that came out. One was Huxley with Brave New World, and then of course there was 1984. And the premise behind 1984 was there was a statist government in charge that controlled everybody through draconian force and regulation of what you believe, what you could do, how you could dress, all aspects of your life regulated by the state, and no one allowed to question the state. In Brave New World, it was the same end game, state control, but they entertained everybody, and everybody had enough amusement and entertainment that they didn't do anything to contradict the state as long as the entertainment was there, kind of like what the Romans did with the circuses and the diversions that they used when they replaced the Roman Republic with a statist form of government under the Caesars. And you can see all of this that's been happening for years. And actually, in a future program, we may talk about some more of this in a little bit more detail. But the ultimate statist, I guess you could say, the ultimate master conspirator behind the scenes, I believe, is the devil. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is warning the believers about not being deceived and not being worried about whether or not the Lord had come and they missed it or different things that were going on. He says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," talking about the return of Christ, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Let's talk about the revelation of the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And it says the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Elsewhere in the scriptures, it tells us the spirit of Antichrist is already active in the world, but it's being restrained right now. And it's being restrained, the Bible tells us right here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth." There's a withholding of the spirit of iniquity. There's a withholding, a hindrance to the devil being able to bring forth his Antichrist. The ultimate conspiracy, of course, is the devil. using these various means, whether it's Islam and Sharia law, whether it's communism, socialism, fascism, whether it's dictatorship, a military dictatorship, or whatever it is, whatever the statist means is that he's using to bring his ruler to the forefront and establish a one-world control over this planet and all its inhabitants, he's being withheld right now. He's being hindered. And it says right here again, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And letteth and let here is not in the sense of permit, but in the sense of to hinder. We don't typically use let in that fashion today, but it is. You can see in legal documents where without let or hindrance, it's referring to preventing or opposing in some fashion, withholding in some fashion, and it corresponds to the withholdeth in verse 6 there. And that's the Holy Spirit working through the believers in the world today. Now, when wicked men rise, like we saw there in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. We can hide ourselves, or we should get out there involved, and because we're called to be salt and light in the world, and the salt has a preserving effect. The light certainly has an illuminating effect. And it's our responsibility as pastors. And I thank God for the opportunity to pastor the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I thank God for the opportunity to be on the radio. This is an opportunity that He's given to me. And part of my responsibility is to point out what's happening in our world today. And we talked about this some time ago, a few months back earlier in the summer, but it's risen its head again. In the Army, the American Family Association and other similar sorts of groups have been labeled domestic hate groups. Either directly or indirectly, we see this happening in the military. And several dozen U.S. Army active duty and reserve troops were told about a week or so ago that the American Family Association, which is a fairly well-respected Christian ministry, points out what's happening in the media, what's happening in government things, that, and the charter, you know, kind of identifies the slide to Gomorrah here in our country. This briefing was held at Camp Shelby in Mississippi, and it listed the American Family Association alongside of domestic hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, the Black Panthers, Nation of Islam. Now, this happened at another Army briefing, and it was said to be an isolated incident. Now, a chaplain interrupted the briefing and actually challenged the instructor's assertion that the American Family Association is a hate group, and the instructor said it is because they don't like gays. Now, here's the thing that we live under today. There's a scale called the homophobic scale, the Riddle homophobic scale, and it's got about 5 or 6 different points in it. And the thing of it is, you come up through the first 3 or so, and it comes up to tolerance. And you would think, well, if I'm tolerant of the homosexuals, I would be considered non-homophobic. But under the Riddle scale, you're still considered homophobic unless you support that. That echoes the Department of Justice and their Gay Pride program, where supervisors and managers are said that if somebody makes a comment about being homosexual or having a homosexual partner of some sort, if they say nothing, it's considered homophobic. They're supposed to respond in positive and a reinforcing manner. And that's what's happening in the military. Now, here's what's going on. The statists that further the devil's plans, they've achieved control in the schools and in the media and in the government, and now they're achieving their control in the military. And that's not isolated to the Army. It's the Air Force is the same thing. There was an Air Force Master Sergeant at Lackland Air Force Base transferred into another unit because he disagreed with his commanding officer on her gay marriage, and they reassigned that And we see the military being taken over. Lieutenant General William Boykin recently said you can't change society unless you change the military, because the military is, as he said, one of the bulwarks of society here. And so we, of traditional values, I should say. And so as a result, we're seeing this hostility towards Christians in the military. The status are using the homosexual movement to gain the control over the military and eliminate the influence of Christians as they have done in the schools, media, and government. Next thing on their agenda is going to be the churches, of course, as well. And certainly the legal seminar that I was at last Tuesday, we talked about that through Obamacare, how churches and Christian organizations are being forced to provide insurance for coverage of abortion and things of that nature. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got a caller calling in, and Danielle, we have on the line. Danielle, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. How
are
you today?
Good.
I have a couple of questions, and one thing has disturbed me for a long time, and I've not understood why it's winked at and accepted and passed along from generation to generation in the Bible-believing churches even, and that's the holding to of these Roman holidays, you know, Halloween or All Saints Day, Christmas and Easter, and the practice in Christmas even of making an altar out of a tree and putting it in one's house or even bringing it into a church. And one of the common things I've noticed is the placement of a five-pointed star on the top of it. I've seen this in churches, and I don't understand why that the pastors could be so blind to something so egregious. And then Easter, they even call it off after the name of a pagan goddess that Israel was condemned and forbidden to worship Ashtaroth. Easter is the name of Ashtaroth.
Yeah, I'm going to have to interrupt here a second for time's sake, because we're covering a lot of ground, and I know we're not going to, in the next 3 minutes, be able to really touch on all of those. But essentially, you do bring up a good point, the influence of the world inside of the church. Now, there would be some disagreements on some things, on some of the days. Easter, I'll mention the name Easter actually comes from Ishtar, and there was a pagan holiday and celebration of Ishtar that took place around the time of Easter, and it is, it's not really a good thing that the word Easter has derived from Ishtar, although since the pagan celebration of Ishtar took place around the time of the Jewish Passover, we do know that the resurrection of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ took place at that time. And certainly rabbits and eggs, colored eggs, have nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. As far as Christmas goes, I don't feel anything wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ. And I personally, I've seen some information that would indicate that he might have been born around the end of December. I personally don't think that that's the case. But whether or not he was, celebrating the birth of Christ is not wrong, but when we allow materialism to come into play and things of that nature to take our focus off from the birth of Christ and indulging in the flesh, because that's what Christmas holidays oftentimes devolve into, parties, alcohol, and then the gifts and everything, and trying to outdo each other with all the gifts and everything. As far as the tree coming in, there's certainly some history from that, from Druidism and things, and unfortunately I don't have time to go to that. There's a passage that talks about bringing in the fir tree. That's actually talking about stripping the branches and everything off from it, turning it into an idol. It is that one passage in I think it's Jeremiah isn't the Christmas tree. It's turning a tree into an idol. But Danielle, I appreciate your call. You bring up some good points. And we need to purify the church from within. If we want to see revival in our country, it starts when our churches get back to the Word of God, and we get the world out of the church. The supposed wall of separation that Thomas Jefferson wrote about to the Danbury Baptist Convention was not to prevent churches from influencing government, but from the government controlling the church. Well, we're out of time here. Appreciate the call and hope you'll join us again next week. God bless and have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those